Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve joining us as the Sunbury Motors Studio moves a little bit west of where it normally is. He'll be joining us momentarily for the Steve Jones Show. Lots of thoughts in Philadelphia at the quarterback situation. After last night, as heard on one of our sister stations, Eagle 107, Vic injured again. Second game, second injury. The star quarterback lasted just six plays, then went for x-rays, this time on his ribs. The tests were negative, and just like they were about 11 days earlier on his thumb. The point is, let's face it, if you didn't think of it before, he is definitely more injury-prone this year than I think in past years, and he's been quite injury-prone in past years, but... And Reed says he's not concerned other than the fact that he's hurt right now. And it looks like Vic will have plenty of time to get over whatever it is that has been ailing him, whether it be the thumb or the ribs or whatever, because I don't think you're going to see him in the two remaining preseason games. If Andy Reed is smart, he will sit him out Friday night against the Browns and maybe have him in for just a few snaps at best in the final one. Rookie Nick Foles came in off the bench, threw a couple of touchdown passes in both games now. The number two, Mike Kafka, missed Monday night's game. He has the hand injury. He's going to be gone 2 to 3 weeks. Trent Edwards also played last night. But now you're looking at a backup position between a guy that is a rookie from Arizona, third-round pick, or... You're basically looking at Trent Edwards. So the Eagles, every time you think the Eagles have things solved, it gets more complicated. That's just the way it seems to be for the Eagles over the last couple of seasons. But again, no word yet on the seriousness or how long that Vic would be out if this were the regular season. But it looks as if it's not going to be a major problem. Now, the real problem is with Andy Reid is, does he play him in the next two games? And where do you sit with backup quarterbacks now? Kafka breaks his hand, a non-throwing hand. It's 2 to 3 weeks, so he's going to be out of sync for a while. So I don't think he's going to be ready to jump in to start come week one. So now you're looking at Edwards or the guy that was basically going to hold a clipboard for the next season. And that's the... rookie quarterback out of Arizona, Nick Foles. So I'd like to hear from Eagles fans today to see what they think about things that are going on. LeSean McCoy said, you know, he did a great job in the huddle. He demanded respect and put everybody in the right places at the right times. Before Vic went out of the game, he was 1 for 3 with 5 yards and another 5 yards on a run. And then it was an injury that took him out at that point. It was like 4 or 5 plays. And McCoy said, Mike's tough. I kind of figured it would be all right, even though he took kind of a big blow. So he was expected to play at least a half a dozen plays on Monday, but that obviously didn't happen. Vic wasn't the only first stringer that was knocked out as well. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was knocked out of the game in the first half with a shoulder injury. And the New England safety, Patrick Chung, also went out in the first half. But that's the update after last night from Vic. It doesn't look like there's any major damage. Went for x-rays this time on his ribs. They were negative. Rumor has it he was going for an MRI today. Haven't heard officially what the response has been from that MRI. But the way it sounds from Andy Reid, he is most likely going to sit the next two games because the guy that is right now, the franchise, as far as the offense, getting hurt about every other play is not the way you want to spend most of your preseason. And like the other thing you don't want to have is the fourth string quarterback, basically, the guy that was holding a clipboard all year, become your starter in week one. Mike Wallace must have seen what the receivers are doing at Pittsburgh and said, I better get back into camp or I may not have to worry about a new contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because rumors are flying around the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and a source has said that he is expected in Pittsburgh after the preseason game with the Bills, and then will sign his contract of $2.742 million. The Steelers said they were done negotiating, at least while he was not, you know, in the preseason camps, but they could potentially change their mind when he decides to come back. But the Steelers typically don't negotiate during the regular season. So if they do end up deciding on looking at a contract, you're going to have maybe a week or so to start looking at it. He is a free agent at the end of 2012 and reportedly looking for a deal worth near what the Steelers gave Antonio Brown, $42.5 million over 6 years. And, of course, much of that money, as we've talked about, is in the back half of that six-year deal. But let's face it, Wallace has some work to do. You know, he might be ready for the final preseason game of the season. You know, he's got a new offensive coordinator in Todd Haley to learn what he's supposed to be doing at receiver. And as we said, Steve and I had said earlier in the month, I don't care how much you've been working out at home, how much you've been lifting, what kind of condition you're in. You know, when you're trying to get in sync with your quarterback and get your timing down and have the quarterback get the timing down on your pass routes and you're not in camp, that's just not going to happen anytime in a quick fashion and anytime soon. So we'll have to see what goes on. So that's the report from the training camps on both sides of the state of Pennsylvania. Steve will fill in what's been going on in the middle part of the state as well with the Penn State Nittany Lions. I talked about Dave Redson and the Big Ten guys in town, and Rever thought that the Nittany Lions were kind of a middle-of-the-road team and said they'd be pretty good if the team didn't have a lot of injuries. And that's probably a fair assessment. And as we said yesterday, too, this is a guy that has seen a lot of Big Ten teams and a lot of Big Ten football. So that's probably a fair assessment coming from an analyst who has been known to sit in the studio. That's the best thing you got. When you get a guy like Rever who sits in the studio and is kind of an anchor analyst and doesn't go out anywhere, you say something like that and you kind of question what he has to say. But here's a guy who's gone around and seen the Big Ten teams. He knows how Penn State appears to match up. So you kind of have to trust him in his word, as he's an educated opinion, we'll call it. So we could talk about that as well. That's just a few of the things. A no-hitter in Little League World Series play last night. That was really cool. I mean, you don't often see no-hitters at the Little League World Series tournament, let alone perfect games either. But you see a lot of sometimes higher-hitting games, and pitchers go a good ways with striking out a few guys, but then they'll give up some runs as well. You don't often see a low-scoring Little League game and a low-hit Little League game, let alone one that ends up being a no-hit game. And you know what? It's exciting to get those no-hitters, but it kind of looked last night as he was walking off the mound that it was like, okay, great. Can we get to the championship game? That's all I'm really worried about. You know, that's the cool thing about Little League baseball. You know, they sometimes don't realize the monumental moment that they just saw with that no-hitter. Now, the rest of the team did. They kind of piled on top of him at the pitcher's mound. Can you imagine that in Major League Baseball? Can you imagine a no-hitter and then everybody piling on the pitcher on the mound? The trainer would go nuts, wouldn't he? I think one of the best stories coming out of Little League right now is that team from Uganda. And they did win today in six innings. It was 3-2, Uganda beating the team representing the Northwest from Oregon. Again, that was 3-2, Uganda getting the win. That's one of the great stories. First team ever from Africa making the Little League World Series, and they were able to get a win. Coming up this afternoon at Alamedy Stadium, it's Mexico and the Caribbean. That's a team from Mexico battling a team from Curaçao. That should be an entertaining ball game. And then a big one tonight, that Fairfield, Connecticut team will be taking on the Petaluma, California team in what is an elimination game. Now, as I said earlier this week, Petaluma, California can hit the ball, but they have some really good pitching. They are one of the deepest pitching teams, I think, in the U.S. bracket. one of the deeper pitching teams in the international bracket, you'd have to lean toward Japan and Chinese Taipei. Those two teams are very, very talented, and they may be on a collision course yet again, but that's in the international bracket for later on. The schedule for tonight, as I said, Mexico and the Caribbean at Lamadi at 4, and then the 8 o'clock game at Lamadi will be the New England-California game. And as I said earlier today, it was a 3-2 Middle East Africa, the team from Uganda winning over the Northwest from Oregon by a score of 3-2 in what they're calling a consolation game. It didn't mean anything in the tournament, just one of those games to kind of give the kids another opportunity to play, which is what it's all about. And as I've said many times, it's a great opportunity to go to Little League World Series and sit back and watch these kids play baseball, not for a paycheck, not to sign autographs, not because of any other reason than they just love playing baseball. And I think one of the most entertaining things in the Little League World Series, you'll see these kids on the field showing every emotion, you know, the tears coming down when they lose a game. And then 5 minutes later, the same two teams are outside the stadium getting their working their way back up to the Grove, you know, messing around with each other, having a laugh with each other. It's a completely different atmosphere when they walk out of the stadium. And you can tell they just enjoy playing baseball and playing every other. And who wouldn't? I mean, really. Remember, I mean, if you played baseball as a youth, you always dreamed about playing at Lamadi Stadium. At least I did. I knew I'd never get there because I wasn't talented enough. And I always hoped I'd get there as an umpire, and I haven't been able to do that yet. But, yeah, you played baseball because it was entertaining. You played it because it was fun. You didn't play it because, you know, there were 30,000 people in the stands, or you didn't play it because you were getting a nice big paycheck every day, or you were hoping to get a big paycheck every day. You played it because it was fun and entertaining, and, you know, the summer just continues for these kids that are lucky enough to go to Williamsport. Some of these kids actually, their schools are starting this week, so they're missing a couple of days of school, which that wouldn't be a bad thing if you were a kid either, would it? 1-800-795-9565, that's the Lenape Solar Hotline. You'll be able to give us a call there momentarily. Today's show with the Sunbury Motors Studio here on top of Blue Hill, sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 for the Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hearn filling in for a few more moments. Steve will be joining us shortly from the newly moved West Sunbury Motors studio. Can also reach us via email, stevejones@wkok.com. Our Twitter feed is @stevejonespsu. And, of course, online you can find the website, stevejonesshow.com. And while you're on Facebook the next time, make sure you like us. You can find the Steve Jones Show on Facebook. One of the questions we posted on our unofficial online poll, Penn State win 8 or more games this year. And it's right now running 3-1 yes at Tommy injuries. He said at least the middle of the road. Thoughts the Lenape Solar Hotline. Talk a little bit more football. Minnesota Vikings have a quarterback red jersey basically on Adrian Peterson right now. You want to talk about somebody being the franchise. This is a perfect example of the franchise. He had that really nasty knee injury in December, and he has been ahead of schedule in his rehab. So they have been very, very careful this summer and then the preseason with Peterson. And it looks like Peterson won't play in the third or fourth preseason contest for the Vikings, and understandably so. I mean, you definitely don't want to get him hurt. That's not the same offense at all without him in the lineup. So he's going to miss the final two preseason games. I'm not even sure in practice that he's actually taken a hit. And if he has taken a hit, it's only been by accident because they really don't want him getting any hits. As a matter of fact, I believe the I believe Frazier's quote was, if you hit Adrian Peterson or touch Adrian Peterson, you'll be cut immediately. Now, if that's not a threat, I don't know what is. But Frazier did make a comment about Adrian Peterson maybe, potentially, possibly making it in Friday night's preseason game against the Chargers. But it looks as if that is not going to happen. He won't be in the third or fourth preseason contest, according to reports out of Minnesota, and more specific, that report coming from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And I know there's a few Vikings fans floating around. Again, we talked about the Eagles, the situation there with the backup quarterback. How comfortable are you if Vic, for some reason, can't go and the Eagles are looking at a quarterback just out of college who was going to be the one to kind of hold the clipboard all season and learn? How comfortable are you at a quarterback just out of college in the third round pick becoming your starting quarterback if, for some reason, Vic can't go? And that may happen because, like I said, the first two games of the season, Vic's already been injured twice, both those games. So it's kind of scary for Eagles fans right now. Kafka broke his left non-throwing hand, so he's out 2 to 3 weeks. He may not be able to be ready for that first regular season game. So it's looking at Foles right now as being the quarterback, Foles and Edwards, more or less. And Foles has been the one that has been talked about a little bit more. In baseball, the news today was a comeback potential. Roger Clemens at 50, the right-hander introduced as the newest member of the Sugarland Skeeters on Tuesday. He's expected to start for the Independent Atlantic League on Saturday at home against Bridgeport. He says he's 50 years old. He's just going out and trying to have some fun with it and make it fun for the fans. I'll tell you what, I admire him. Let me say that right out. I admire him. He's been, about 5 years out of playing? You know, last pitched for the Yankees in 07 at 45. Is this another return to the majors? He said, he's been to the majors and back a couple of times. He's been retired and unretired, so wouldn't consider thinking that far ahead. He's just going to try and get through Saturday. He thinks he can compete a little bit. Rumor has it his fastball was around 85, but let's be honest, Jamie Moyer, he's been able to do a couple of things over the last several years at that age, so maybe he is able to make a run back. Moyer comes back, returned from elbow ligament replacement surgery to start for Colorado this year, and when he was asked about Moyer, he said, people are trying to ingrain in my mind that 50 is the new 40, but I'm not buying it because I still have to pack myself in a lot of ice. I guess you could always tell where you are in your career if the smell of Bengay is more prominent than your cologne. Maybe that's the point he was trying to make, too. But he isn't commenting on playing more than one game for the Skeeters. He says, who play, by the way, in a Houston suburb. He says he wants to see how Saturday goes at first. Of course, he was acquitted in June after a 10-week trial and largely stayed out of the public spotlight until now after a grand jury indicted him on 2 counts of perjury and 3 counts of making false statements and 1 count of obstructing Congress. He was also quoted saying everybody has their own opinion and they dwell on that so much. In between all of that, handling the business up there and doing what was right for me and my family and taking it head on, I was still doing the work that I've always done, so it wasn't gloomy or depressing. So is this a PR stunt? Is this an opportunity to get a big name on your minor league team and get people out to the ballpark? Or You know, is this legitimate? I guess we'll find out on Saturday when we see how long he stays into the ballgame, whether he can make a run or not, for that matter. So those are the topics on the table. We can talk Little League Baseball. We can talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. We can chat a little bit about something that makes me very happy and Wallace's return to the Steelers, which I hope will happen sooner rather than later. And, of course, we can also chat a little bit about Roger Clemens. That's all coming up here on the Steve Jones Show. And in a few moments, we'll have Sarah Bartlett with the news. We'll open up the toll-free lines at 1-800-795-9565. The Lenape Solar Hotline is 1-800-795-9565. And, heck, we can even talk a little high school football if you're in the mood for it. Teams had their first scrimmage already, and it's one of those deals where I'm not quite sure where everybody stands just yet because it's still early. That first scrimmage, never quite sure what comes down, how good or bad your team really is after 1 week of full practice with the gear and everything. The scrimmages that will really tell the tale are the ones that come up on Friday night. And then, of course, the ones that really count will happen 1 week later. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sarah Bartlett with the news coming up next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sitting in the Mark Lawrence chair, and I am feeling the power.
I noticed you didn't feel the need to greet everyone.
Didn't feel the need to greet everyone?
Greeting. That's been Mark Lawrence's trademark, and I've known him for about 20 years, and I think that's been his trademark for 20 years.
All I know is that he's part of a first-class staff. You want to get the day off and rolling, and one of the reasons, for example, that you get an audience in the afternoon is to have a great morning show, and the reason you're going to have a great morning show is to have somebody like him. And Mark does that. I mean, he does that all the time. So I am actually sitting here in the actual WKOK studio. We are not in the Sunbury Motor Studio in State College.
It's nice to see you. I know the feeling's not mutual, but let's get over that.
I'll have to get back to you on that. Hey, don't you have any neat WKOK pens or something?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, all I have is this Bic.
Wow. I mean, I got you a drink. The headphones were set up.
I mean, I should at least get a mug and a couple pens. I mean, I should feel like I'm a part of the company, shouldn't I?
That's a nice shirt you're wearing.
I understand that.
And not everyone gets one of those shirts.
Everybody I walked in had one on.
Not everyone gets one of those shirts.
Mm-hmm. Where's Barty?
In the newsroom. I know that's an unusual place for the person that delivers our news to be, but
look, she's on it. She's not on again for another half hour.
I'll get her for you.
1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. So I did not listen to the first half hour of the show.
That's so nice of you.
So exactly what direction, what trail were you taking your audience down?
Well, there were a couple of different opportunities. One was the Vic issue.
Oh, it's no issue. He's fine.
Well, it's no issue unless you're an Eagles fan. I'd be concerned if my starting quarterback got injured in four plays again.
But look, Michael Vick, this is the issue with Michael Vick. I think mobile quarterbacks are fabulous. I really do, because they do so much for you. All right, they do a lot for you. The mobility, getting away from pressure, and so forth. What he said last year about, gee, I take more hits and the referees and blah, blah, is the biggest hunk of hooey I've heard in a long time.
Well, he's a mobile quarterback.
The reason he takes more hits, and I'll give you a prime example. Prime example. I want to go back to his Virginia Tech days. They are playing a game on a Thursday night at West Virginia. And this is a really good game. This is the year that Virginia Tech went and played Florida State for the whole thing, right?
Right.
It's a really good game. And West Virginia is hanging in there, and they've played well. They've contained him most of the night. He takes the ball. West Virginia gets pressure on him, and he goes down the far sideline. And he acts then at one point like he's just about, okay, I'm going to step out of bounds and kill it. And then they backed off. He's a quarterback. So they backed off, and he took off on him, and he gained another 25 yards.
I remember seeing that played over and over again.
Exactly. That's why he takes more hits. When Mark Sanchez goes to the sideline, you as a linebacker, defensive back, whatever, you know it's Mark Sanchez, so you back off a little bit because you know that he's going to the sideline. He's going to the sideline, and if I hit him, they're going to tack 15 yards on. With him, he goes to the sideline, and you're not sure. Do you have to hit him?
Well, he's a, and that's the drawback of being a mobile quarterback.
Right.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger has the same, well, not the same comment, but the same issue. I mean, here's a guy.
Not really. No. He's not. Well, Roethlisberger moves really, really well. Okay. And he keeps plays alive longer, so you're correct there.
Right.
But it's once he gets out of the pocket.
No, but he has the same issue when it comes to, you know, in the instance of the referees holding the whistle a little long.
Right, he does.
That's what I mean.
In that regard, yes, because he keeps plays a lot.
Right.
And not only that, but obviously in Super Bowl 42, on the incredible catch by David Tyree, the officials allowed Eli Manning to keep that play alive.
Absolutely.
Okay? So it's not a double standard. He's in fantasy land when he says that. I mean, because, again, he is held to a different standard because he does different things. Right? If he's held to the same standard as Tom Brady when he takes off to run, Brady's going to hook slide.
Right.
Okay? Vic's going to keep trying to make you miss. Well, what he's – oh, I'm sorry. I have to back off. He's a quarterback. No. Once you're in the open space, you are free fair game. He took a shot last night. Okay, fine. It's interesting because I exchanged emails this morning with Gil Santos, who does the Patriots games.
Sure.
And Belichick held 18 starters out last night. He says, Steve, Steve, what a wild ride that was. He says, I felt sharper in the first game than I did in the second game because, and I was listening to the game last night on Sirius. I was driving back from Williamsport last night. And, but 18 starters. Now, what's interesting is that Belichick is entitled to do that. His job is not to sell tickets. His job is not to sell tickets. His job is to be the football coach. Right? The Patriots have, I think, 3 games in a 10-day span?
Yeah, it's very, very quick turnover.
So why bother? I mean, he has to be smart about his personnel. So he put his 2s and 3s in there because he's trying to see which guys can react well under pressure. So who should I keep and who should I cut? So that's what he's trying to do. The problem is in the NFL, you paid full price for that.
Yeah.
And that
was part of your season ticket package.
Right. And that's not his job to sit there and say that's part of your season ticket package. His job is to put together the football team so that when we start the real games, he's ready.
But I think the thing, and going back on the Eagles side, that you have to be more concerned about if you're an Eagles fan is the fact that right now you have your backup quarterback is out 2 to 3 weeks with a broken hand on his non-throwing hand. So he's not going to be really ready to go.
Gil told me in the email he was really impressed with Nick Foles.
Well, there's your backup quarterback right now. There's the guy, and he was, and as I said earlier, he was supposed to be holding the clipboard this year.
Right, supposed to be, but maybe more active than they believe. At least he went out and he played well last night because he never inspired a lot of confidence in me when I saw him at Arizona. You know, I just thought he was good, but I never thought he was a great college quarterback. When they drafted him, I went, yeah.
How many quarterbacks are in the NFL right now, and we have 2 that are going to be starters right away that were drafted, would you feel comfortable as a coach putting in the starting role or even as the backup if your starter gets hurt? I mean, you have Griffin. Yeah, he's going to be, you know, you'd feel comfortable there. Luck, you'd feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
But at that point I'm not so sure that I'd feel overly comfortable from there on.
The other guys, no. But, you know, I mean, a lot of the guys are going to be sucking. Tannehill's probably going to start down in Miami. Newton's going into his second year. Locker is going to start now, we know, at Tennessee. So, I mean, that's been announced.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. I was, anyway.
It's his time. You know, I mean, look, who are you going to go to?
No. Is it the lesser of the evils thing? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that because, I mean, you look at the Eli Manning, Philip Rivers thing. Manning was the first overall pick by the Chargers. Rivers was the fourth overall pick by the Giants. And, of course, then they traded. They both had to start right away. Both had growing pains right away. Both are two really good quarterbacks. Then you have the Aaron Rodgers model where you just wait and wait and wait and wait, and the guy won't retire, won't leave, won't quit, won't do this, won't do that, just kind of hangs around, says, you know, this might be it, buy it. And he's sitting there going, geez, trade me. You know, and then finally he gets a shot and says, see, I mean, I've been here the whole time.
I do know how to play.
Okay, I really know how to play. I'm the best.
But having a guy like that stick around, though, look at it from that point, having a guy like that stick around as the backup quarterback, that really is impressive, and that says something for, I think, the organization there. I mean, I honestly think that he could have played a long, long time ago, but
he could have played by his third year, sure.
Just stayed in that organization. Maybe it's like you said. Maybe it's because he sat behind the quarterback going, you're leaving this year, right? Yeah, yeah. Hold on. Wait a minute.
I feel better. Really?
You don't look
really,
better.
Really? No. You look old. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Yes, I am here at the top of the hill.
Yes.
I'm actually in the studio today.
It's exciting. All right, so it's not really exciting. I just wanted to.
Why would Sean Carrier would stop waving?
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, boy.
We play the Edison tonight, by the way.
We play the Edison.
Stop on by.
We'll be in the Catskills over the weekend.
We'll be at Grossinger's. So, yeah, if they have a problem, no question about that. Penn State football, let's see.
Well, that's what I said. I updated the East, the West, with the return of Mike Wallace.
Did Wallace come back?
Well, it looks as if they will. The Post-Gazette's reporting that he is maybe a week away from coming back and signing it.
Oh, there's a shocker. After they're done with Latrobe.
Well,
I'm not kidding.
Also, after I think wide receivers look pretty darn good for the Steelers and some big touchdown catches over the last couple of games, I think he's feeling, okay, maybe I am replaceable here.
Yeah, that's because he is.
Well, that's exactly right.
That's because he is. Well,
so now you can update the middle part of the state, then.
The middle part of the state, yes. Let's see. Today's Tuesday. One practice today, and then two tomorrow at 9:30 and 7:30. Slowly but surely, they're getting some guys back. Malcolm Willis had been banged up. He's now back. Pete Massaro had been banged up. Now he's back. So they slowly. Shawnee Kersey's not back, though. And tonight at 8 o'clock, you'll see the Big Ten preview report. But if I were Shawnee Kersey, I'd hurry up on that ankle a little bit. Because there are other people right now that are doing a little bit better and are a little more consistent. Trevor Williams is a nice look at that wideout spot. Geno Lewis is a nice look out there. They have some guys that can play at wideout. And Allen Robinson has had himself one heck of a camp. Allen Robinson has had himself one whale of a camp. Very, very impressive. So I like, you know, that they're going to be fine there. Then you have Gilliam, Carter, Jesse James, and a guy named Matt Lehman. All right. Like I said, there are only two guys that really bothered me when they didn't come back. Rev obviously is one. Farrah was the other one. Didn't go near the cliff on the other guys. Sorry. Just the way it is. The wide receiving group is better off right now than it was at any point last year.
Really?
Yes.
Now, that does surprise me a little bit to hear you
just
say.
Just it. The athletes who can make plays. Geno Lewis, big-time athlete. Trevor Williams, big-time athlete. Evan Lewis is that slot guy, that Wes Welker type of guy you like to have. Alex Kenny, catch him if you can. Then you have Allen Robinson. Robinson, who played last year as a true freshman, has made that next step as a wide receiver. Again, he's had a fabulous camp. And this offense suits these guys really well. And it suits McGloin really well. McGloin has had a really good preseason. And I would say especially the last week, McGloin has had himself a whale of a preseason. Scrimmage on Saturday is good.
I've always felt he has done well with the 0 to 20-yard pass range and in that higher percentage zone. I thought he's made some really good decisions there. I always thought that it was the longer ones that and the downfield ones that he kind of struggled with. Now, I don't see nearly as many games as you do. I mean, that's just what I've seen.
Right, and he throws the ball downfield well enough. But the biggest part of this offense is accuracy. He's had the accuracy.
And that's the 0 to 20 range. Yeah.
Right, and not only that, but he's done an excellent job of reading defenses and also understanding protections and changing protections. He's done very well with that. And the running back deal, Belton has a chance, if he's healthy, to be a 1,500-yard guy from the line of scrimmage this year. 1,000 rushing, 500 receiving. He can be that kind of player.
It's not a bad year.
No, I'm saying, but he's that kind of player. He can be 1,000 rushing and 500 receiving. So, I mean, you know, so if you give him enough touches, you're talking about, 120 yards a game. Something like that between the two things. I mean, he may have a 40-yard receiving day and an 80-yard rushing day. So, I mean, that comes out to, 1,440 yards, right? 120 yards a game times 12 is 1,440 yards.
I don't know. I'm mathematically challenged.
Oh, boy. How many people are in the studio? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Time to take a break. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget our Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. It is great to be in Sunbury today with all of you. We're playing the Edison tonight. Come on down. Should be a great shoe. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in studio today. Sunbury Motor Studio moving a little bit to the west of State College. Are you done with your little nickel tour?
My nickel tour? Well, first of all, Sean Carey comes in.
Oh, here we go.
Gives me a WKOK mug.
Yeah, which is great because I've given you one like years ago. But
I know it.
You don't remember.
I remember it because I drank coffee out of it this morning.
Right.
You know, and then I said Mazel Tov and I broke it. And not only that, a WKOK Ohio State pen.
It is red and white. There is some red to it, but, you know.
I'll give that to Paul Keels. My man Keels.
He would appreciate that.
Keels has been, of all the people, and well, yeah, I got a pad out of it, too. This is great.
It's all in who you know.
Well, it's obviously the people who care. Carrie cares. Barty cares. Okay? You're like, hey, I gave you, yeah. He gives me a cup of water out of who knows where. In some recyclable cup.
Sorry, I didn't have a chance to write your name on it.
No. What does Jack do?
Well, listen, honestly, I thought about that last night. I'm on the way home. I'm on the way home last night from youth football practice, and I'm thinking I should stop. This would be the best line to the best thing to get Steve a bottle of Perrier because I'm always on his case.
Do they sell it at Brewer's Outlet?
I don't know. I didn't stop. You that should. Was the problem. And I'm always on your case about how Jack, you know, pulls out this bottle of Perrier for you to because
do you know
can't just drink regular water. You
do
know?
You know how often? During the course of the year, I drink Perrier.
Let's see. How many games do you do at home?
13 times. I don't drink Perrier any other time. But he brings it, and so I sit there and I say to myself, all right, you might as well drink it. It's either that or this thing called Pamplemousse he brings. Right?
I didn't even try to find that.
But I always drink it, which is fine. Last night, I am at Williamsport. And last night, to do baseball. And the teams from Panama, Japan, and Tennessee are all there at last night's game. So I got there late enough where I need to get myself some food in the middle inning. So I go down about the fifth inning to pick up something quick. And I go down there, and there are four Japanese players there. And they are eating Dippin' Dots, and they are giggling. Hey, I said, "Oh, you have to be kidding me!" The international language, Dippin' Dots,
Dippin' Dots,
Dippin' Dots. They love their Dippin' Dots, indeed. All right, 1-800-795-9565. If you have a question about the football team, here's your golden opportunity to get in there. I want to tell everybody that on Thursday night. Bill O'Brien will not be on the first show live because what happened is this.
What did you do already to him?
Oh, nothing. Also, my cell phone rang Sunday night when I was in Williamsport. Bill O'Brien. I looked at Joe Putnam. I said, I think I better take that one.
Good idea.
It's move-in day on Thursday for the players of the dorms, and he had to push practice to 5 to 7.
Oops.
So I will do a sit-down interview with him. He'll be on live starting next week. Jack called this afternoon. He says, I heard you need my help.